I'm doing better. I can hear myself. Because I think I sound really good. Yeah, right. Actually, you ever film yourself or listen to yourself and you go, oh my gosh, this is terrible. It's weird. We have this perceived reality about ourselves. So it's funny. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and we're going to dig in. Father God, we just come before you right now. We thank you for all that you do. We thank you for this time that we have to gather. Father, we thank you for spring. How awesome it is to be able to see all your creation and everything come to life. And Father, I just ask that spiritually you would help us to step into spring. That you'd help us to bloom into new life. That Father, you'd see new things happening in us as we grow towards you. And so Lord, we just give it to you. Ask that your spirit would speak. We give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Last weekend, I had this awesome experience. Went up with my kids, with Hannah and Abel and Sasha, and we went to Polson. And we went to this, we kind of like, as you guys know, we like games and we like those, breakout rooms where you have to solve puzzles and all these different things to try to escape. Well, we went up there and we went to a breakout room, but it was a VR breakout room, virtual reality breakout room. So we walk into this thing and it's about this size of a room, so to speak, maybe a little bit bigger, and there's nothing in it. All the walls are gray, the floor is gray, and you're in this room and you put on these goggles. And all of a sudden it's wild because you put on these goggles and everything just transforms. And all of a sudden, when you're looking around, you're in this three-dimensional world, and you're looking around, and we were playing this escape room that we were like prisoners in this medieval castle that were going to be fed to the dragons. And so we had to figure out all the different puzzles to be able to break out of the cage. And then we were in like this alchemist room where we had to figure out how do we get out of this, and figure out all the different clues that were written on the wall and all this stuff. And eventually we actually fought the dragon. We were shooting like these arrows out of the dragon. And it was like this catapult with this arrows that were sticking in there. And one of us had to aim, one had to go grab the arrows and put it in there, and one had to be over there cranking the thing back, and another one's launching it. So all four of us, like, we're in this room, and this dragon's flying along, and we're like dodging things, the dragon's doing at us, and I mean, it was just an absolute blast, and we're having so much fun. And then the guy that was doing the room, he like took this video of us. You know what it looks like? It was so funny because we're watching this video and here's these people in this room. And that's not the worst part of it. The worst part of it was me. Hannah, get the arrow, what are you doing? Go along with that thing! Go on! Shoot, shoot, shoot! Ah! I was just screaming the whole time. I blew out the speakers there too. So it was crazy. There was this hole where I need to stand. You got it? There you go. So it was a blast. If you ever get a chance, you got to try it out. But this is what was really interesting about it. Is he films that thing. We're in this room acting like a bunch of crazy people, running around doing things like this and going up and steering things around, and it just looks ridiculous. But to us, we're seeing all this stuff coming at us and just kind of, it was virtual reality. You were in the middle of this game and it was absolutely wild. What I think is interesting about it is we're going to dig into some scripture. And a lot of times when we think about spiritual things, all we know is our physical realm around us. And I think a lot of times we walk in this world and we feel like we're in a gray room. And we look around and we really don't know what's going on. It's just kind of a gray room and it's kind of dead. But there's a spiritual realm around us that's alive. And it's there and it's happening. But unless we have the right attitude, unless we put ourselves in the right mind frame, we don't recognize what it is that God's doing. And we often destroy ourselves. So let's look at the scriptures here. Ephesians chapter 4. Get down here to verse 17. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their heart. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity that they are full, and they are full of greed. When you look at these verses, I don't know if you notice, there are three different things that pop up here dealing with the way that we think. The first one is their thinking, and then it goes on to their understanding, and then it talks about their ignorance. Now, I was the youngest out of several boys, and my brothers would always tell me, "Hey, Mark, it's okay, you're just ignorant, you're not stupid. We can't fix stupid." So just so you guys know, apparently that's a tough one to fix. So here it is, though. It comes up three different times: the way we think, the way we understand, and ignorance. Our mindset is so important, because the way that we think and the way that we process is more than just the physical around us. The way that we think and the way we process actually predicts a lot of who we are and how we handle life, our character, whether we're defeated or whether we have victory. And I don't know about you guys, but I'd much rather live a victorious life. I'd much rather grab the promises that the Scripture has about finding peace and joy and fulfillment and purpose and be able to seize those things in my life and live in the midst of them. Amen? Who wants to be trapped in slavery? Who wants to be downhearted? Who wants to be defeated where everything around you is always miserable? Nobody wants to live in that. But a lot of times we find ourselves sucked into that because of the way we think and the way that we process. The way we think and the way we process, our attitude, has a lot to do with our spirituality and our victory in our life. Matter of fact, there's some verses over here in Romans. I want you to look at them real quick. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Paul's actually talking about early man before everything came about, and talks about their circumstances and the way that they processed. So here it is, starting in verse 21. For although they knew God, now think about that, early man, they knew God existed, and it just talks about how God's made himself evident to all mankind. Although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal human beings and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over to their sinful desires and their hearts to sexual impurities and for the indulging of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. It's wild to think about, to have a concept of God and yet deny his existence, deny that he is. And so therefore you go and begin to search and grasp for things that would satisfy that, to be able to explain the realms around us, the natural realm in spiritual ways, and not be able to actually give it to God the Creator, but to give it to things that were created. For most of us, we look at those things like, you know, overseas and people that are kind of, that are stuck. They're worshiping weird creatures and idols, and we go, that just doesn't make sense, because we grew up here in America where science is kind of the king. So if logic doesn't prevail, then everybody's kind of, all the rest of it's just kind of nuts. But if you really dig into the science, there's so much that we go, this is the way it has to be. And yet when you dig into it, you find out that most of it is assumed too. in many ways, when you really look at some of the stuff about evolution and all that, but there's a greater leap of faith to accept some of the truths that they present in evolution than there is about accepting what Christ has for us. So man is still doing this. And the crazy part about it is what we do is we run after these things with our logic. And we put it together with our understanding. And if we just read the scriptures there, it says God gave us over to a depraved mind, over to a mind that can't process, that we've held on to the Lord, but we gave that away. And so therefore, our thinking's become this thing that really doesn't make any sense, even though we're wise. And we got it figured out. Now think about that for a moment. How many times in our life have we been in situations where we've looked at it and gone, well, this is, must be what it is, da-da-da-da-da. And so we either assume something about somebody, or we assume something about our situation or our circumstances, or we assume this is how it has to work out logically, financially. And so we get to these places and we look at those things and we go, we're not making it through this, or those people are evil, or we make these judgment calls off of our logic. And later on down the road, we'll find out that we're totally wrong. Has anybody done that? Don't raise your hand. Bless you guys for raising your hand. At least you're honest with yourself. But the reality is, I think we've all done that. We've all made assumptions off of our own logic, off of our own things that we can put together. We sit there and say, this is the way it has to be. And yet, what's crazy about that is quite often it's not the full truth. It doesn't have all that God is putting together in the midst of it, and we get lost in these things. What's sweet about this is we read this about Romans, and he's talking about early man and all the different aspects as he goes through Romans chapter 1, 2, and 3. He talks about before Christ and all the circumstances that are there and how sin has come into our life and how we live in this realm that we're given over to a sin nature. But we know that we've been set free from the sin nature. That although it's still here, we've been set free because we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That since he's died for us on the cross, and we accept that in faith, we accept that grace in faith, that we know he's paid our penalty. And so we have a different life. We have a life that can lead to glorify God. That's the second part here of Ephesians. Look back over here, Ephesians chapter 4 again. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 20 this time. That whoever is not the way of, however, that is not the way of life you've learned. He's thinking about all that stuff we talked about, being ignorant and all that other stuff before. When you heard about Christ and were taught in him in regard with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with him in regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on a new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Notice it says the truth in here. We exchange this ignorance for truth. And it's this description of putting off, like taking off old garments and putting on something new. To be able to look at it and realize, okay, this is the way I used to think. This is the way the world operates. Take care of yourself, get out there, be able to achieve. You're only successful if you do these things. This is the way it needs to be. This is how you look beautiful and attractive to other people. This is how you gain wealth. These are the things that are going to satisfy you in life. This is the world that we live in. This is the world, and this is how it thinks. To be able to take that off and go, wait a minute, that's not reality and that's not truth. And I have to renew my mind, change the way I think, and put on something new. To begin to think the way that God would have me to think. To be able to base it off of truth. To be able to understand what he has for me. I love this part down here. About the attitude of your mind. Grasp that one. The attitude of your mind. What's your attitude? You guys remember the old song, Attitude Adjustment? Nobody remembers that one? That's an old one. Okay. I won't go there then. Here's the reality. Sometimes we need an attitude adjustment. Because it is so easy to look around at the gray walls and go, all right, this is pointless. I don't get this. Everybody looks weird. And you're not enjoying what God has for you. Man, I don't know about you guys. When I go through Scripture and I'm looking at Scripture and it talks so much about pain and hurt and trials, and then it always has this weird sideline to it. Rejoice. Give thanks. Yeah. To realize that our circumstances, these are temporary. And they're there to refine us. You think about it. The Scripture talks about us knowing how the devil operates and the schemes of the devil. And this is what we know about the devil. He is the father of lies. He loves to steal, kill, and destroy. And he works in our circumstances. He's constantly working in our circumstances. Look at Job. When he messed with Job, what did he do? He messed with all of Job's circumstances. Went around, destroyed, killed, took away, made it look pretty darn bleak for Job. So here's the reality of it. We got to be able to stop and go, okay, wait a minute, what's the truth? How do I think and how do I need to act in the midst of this to understand that God has something better for me? Do I really believe the Scripture that all things work out for the good to those who love Him? Do I really hold on to the Scripture that nothing can separate me from the love of God? And if God is for me, who can be against me? Do I really hold on to it that He is my provider, Jehovah? That He is the one that takes care, that He is the one that is there, He is the one that defends me? Do I really hold on to the Scripture that I'm not supposed to revenge, but that He looks out for me? Do I really hold on to the Scripture that I am blessed, that I have an eternal inheritance in heaven, and treasure that will never fade, will never go away? Do I really hold on to those things? Or do I look at my circumstances and wrestle with it and go, oh man, this life sucks and I can't handle it no more. And we let all these things come in and I'm human, guys. I get there too. And I've been there. Where I look around at all my circumstances and go, I want to quit. What's the point? I am tired. I am wore out. Seems like every time I try to do good, I just get evil back. It gets tiring. But this is not the truth. To be able to put this off and go, this is the way the world thinks. To be able to grasp that Scripture actually tells me I have to change my attitude, change the way I think, because that's really where the battle's at. If you look at what we read in Romans, I mean, it talked about the fact that they gave up the truth. And because they gave up the truth, they thought they became wise, but actually their thinking was messed up. And so we got to be able to stop and go, okay, let's look at what the Scripture says and how are we supposed to hold on to these things and actually deal with them. Let's look at Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 2. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. No longer indulge in all this stuff. We fight against it. But the reality is victory comes when I change the way I think. You like that one? I'll give you good. That's an attitude adjustment if you need to know. So it's being able to go, wait a minute, the way I think. To transform the way that I think. Renew my mind. Here's one in Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. I love, actually, the way this one is written. So I read NIV, the one that's on the screen, this is New Living, and I actually love this translation of this one better. Be careful how you think, because that's guarding the wellspring of your life, your heart. Be careful how you think. Isn't that crazy? So the scripture talks about this. Now, when I get into this, the problem is a lot of people go, well, wait a minute. Okay, Mark, you're just talking about positive thinking. A very, you know, very popular thing nowadays in secular psychology is you know, think about what you're going to do, you know, practice, you know, sometimes actually mentally thinking about making that basket or actually mentally hitting that mark or doing some kind of activity is almost just as beneficial as actually doing it. So that attitude of positive thinking. Now, wherever you're at in that, really doesn't matter, because the scripture actually backs up a lot about how we think. So it's not a matter of, am I endorsing popular belief or not? Because to be honest, popular beliefs change all the time. But I'm going to hold on to what the scripture says. And what's crazy about it is the scripture actually comes along quite often and talks about how we think and how we process. And that really, the battle is right there. So there's something to it. And if popular science is catching up to what Scripture has been saying for 2,000 years, well, praise the Lord. We'll just go with that one. So that's right. Look at 2 Corinthians here. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Look at verse 4. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets it up. Itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. That's spiritual warfare. How we think. To demolish strongholds. The strongholds, you think about it. One thing is to look at this, all the circumstances that the devil has around us that gets us down. What about the lies? What about those things that creep into our life that tell us that we're no good or tell us there's no way you're ever going to get ahead or tell you that, you know, this is the way life is, just deal with it. You'll never experience anything better. All those little crazy lies that sneak in there, if you really want to be a good Christian, you better work really hard. Oops, you're not a very good Christian, are you? I hate that one. Those ones that sneak in there. Oh, see, these Christians say that they love you, but they're kind of selfish. And you know what? We're all sinners. We all mess up. And it's until we can start having grace for ourselves, we can have grace for other people. Church is not a place full of, you know, perfect people. Hopefully it's a place where people are getting better. But the reality is a lot of times we take in these lies and we begin to build our life off of them. And then it really messes up the way we think and the way we process, because all of a sudden we're getting into a place where we fall into this realm again where the world has this control over us and we lose the victory and we lose the joy and we don't focus on what it is that God wants us to be focusing in on. We're focusing on all the distractions. Here's one part about being older that I don't like. There's a couple things I don't like about getting older, but this is one thing I don't like about getting older, is I've noticed my hearing is changing. And so it's one of those things where I used to go in and, you know, if there's a group of people and all that bit, I could have a conversation with somebody, you know. This last week we had soft landing and there's all these refugees in there, and so there's a lot of foreign languages going on. And I'd go in there, and what I found out is it wasn't just their accent or the fact that, you know, there's all this, it was just all noise. Somebody would talk to me, and I couldn't make out anything they were saying. I don't like that. That's miserable. How often do we get there spiritually? Where we get ourselves surrounded with all this noise, and we can't pick out the voice of God anymore. because we're becoming deaf. Because the lies that we've believed, the things that we're holding on to, things that destroy us. Instead of being able to root those out and go, why do I feel like this? I know this is contrary to Scripture, so why do I feel like this? Well, and get down to the root of it, because somewhere or another, those feelings are pointing you towards something that's happening in your life that God wants you to deal with. To be able to go, wait a minute, instead of me just justifying my feeling, my frustration or my anger or my loneliness or sadness, be able to stop and go, why do I feel this way? It's because I believe this. Is that true? Scripture tells me it's not true. Maybe I ought to renew the way I'm thinking. Maybe I ought to take off the old clothes and put on something new and grasp the truth. And even though it doesn't feel right, hold on to the truth and begin to change the way I'm thinking, to take captive every thought. Guys, how hard is it sometimes to take captive every thought? The fact that something pops into your head is one thing. To dwell on it is something else. Girls, it's the same thing. There's things that pop into your head, and you can either go, this is the way it is, and begin to dwell on it, or to be able to take captive those thoughts and go, no, not today. I'm not going to let bitterness step in. I'm not going to let grudges. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to give grace. I'm going to step into what God has for me. I'm going to love regardless of whether I feel loved. I'm going to step out in the truth of what God has for me. Look over here at Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Go down here, verse 2. Then make my joy complete by being like-minded. He's talking to the church. Make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset, attitude as Christ Jesus. To have the same mindset or attitude of Christ. Isn't that the goal? I mean, you know, we all have seen those little bands, and some of you probably have had them, you know, what would Jesus do on them, right? I never get into fads very often. If you've had them, that's awesome, but I never get into that stuff very often. But here, it brings up a really good point, though, to be able to sit there and go, what is it? How is it that Christ would think? How would he respond in the situation? To change the way that I process. To be able to come back to a place of realizing, wait a minute, we need to be of one mind. And this is a thing that we're reaching to be like Christ in the midst of it. Philippians chapter 4, just a couple pages over, says this. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Further, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Now look at those scriptures and tell me that the scripture does not talk about our thinking process. I mean, the reality is the battle is in our mind. How do I perceive things? How do I work in the midst of the truth of what God would have me to do? How do I grasp the reality and take those promises that I've so often quoted to you guys and actually get them from here to here? To be in the presence of God and to know that I'm loved. That I would be filled with grace and love others. To be able to get to a place of recognizing all these things that he talks about. Anxiety? Anybody ever get nervous? Anybody ever have this anxiety? You know what really stinks? Is when you have anxiety, you don't even know why. They call it free-floating anxiety. You know, what's up with that? It's like I walked into a cloud of anxiety. Come on now. This isn't right. You know? But it's out there. And we get these things, these moments where it's like, ah. And then we listen to those lies again. Oh, you're anxious. You're not a very good Christian, are you? You see how it sneaks into your life? And then you get down, it's like, oh man, I'm anxious and I don't know what to do about it. And at the same time, I'm not a very good Christian because now I'm anxious and so I have no faith and so I'm a loser. And then you get yourself into this place where it's like, ah. It just snowballs. That's the really difficult part about this. Until we stop and go, whoa, no, I'm not going there. I might feel like I need to go there, and logic in my mind might say I should go there. I'm not going there. I'm going to put on the new life. Transform the way I'm thinking. Hold on to the truth. Be in the midst of what God would have for me to do. Experience the peace that transcends understanding. Isn't that a chunk to deal on? A peace that transcends understanding. Literally, I have a peace when the world would tell me, your life is falling apart, you better be screaming. No, it's okay. God's got me. No, it's okay. It all works out for His glory. No, it's okay. This may be painful, but you know what? He's showing me where I need to change. No, it's okay. I know I'm going through the struggle, but the reality is the only part of that struggle is the sin that I've been holding on to, and so finally it's getting dealt with. So it's a good thing. See, the scripture goes through all this stuff, telling us how we need to think and how we need to process and bring it back and put it in His hands to think differently than the world, to realize that in our own logic, we're not getting it. We need to hold on to the truth and the reality of what God would have for us. And then He goes through, and I love this chunk of scriptures that we read here in Philippians, because as you go through it, He tells us how to overcome it. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I think sometimes we need friends in our life that go, okay, give me a couple praises because I need to change the way I think. Sasha's that for me. There's times that we'll go through a hard day and things will go wrong and we'll get in the car and we're driving home and what we'll say to each other is, okay, here's three praises. Here's three good things. Here's five good things that I saw tonight. And we go, da, 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 da. And we say those back to each other and we talk about these little things that happened and we're just like, man, that was awesome. And you see, you know, whatever it is. Because here's reality. God is at work, and there's good things all around us. You know, and we don't need to be tied up in the muck. We don't want to be defeated anymore, do we? I'd much rather walk with joy, purpose, being content in all situations, rejoicing in my trials. Being able to walk where God would have me walk and to claim His victory. And the world may look at me and go, you're out of your mind. Because you're running around doing this. But I tell you what, this is a blast. And it's a lot of fun to see the reality that God has for us. Instead of just dealing with the gray walls. Father God, we come before You. Lord, Your scripture and this message is so important, and I barely scratched the surface. And I know that there's some people here that have struggled deeply, clinically, with depression and different issues in their life. Father, there's people here who have gone through trials and situations that I have never even come close to. And so I don't want to make light of that. But Father, I know your word says that we can rise above that. That you've allowed us to go through things in our life in order to be able to help others through it. To be able to see your love and your grace and your mercy. And Father, I ask that you would give us new eyes and new mind, that we would accept things in our heart, that it would take root inside of us, that we are a privileged people, that we are a blessed people, that we are a people that, Father, you have given purpose to and you have created in a certain way to be able to fulfill your glory. Father, you give us this special promise to say that we can be one with you. Lord, help us to see through your eyes, through your spirit. Help us to think differently. Help us to take captive those thoughts. Help us no longer to give in to the lies of the devil that would hold us back and bring us into a place of depression and frustration and viewing on our circumstances. But Father, help us to break free with the truth, because the truth sets us free. Help us to renew our minds so we would know what your good and perfect will is. You are an awesome God, and you love us so much. Help us to look up and not down so much. We give it to you in Jesus' name.